when you talk baseball, there's one guy at KMBR I love to talk baseball with, and that is Larry Kruger at Sports Larry KMBR on Twitter. And he could break away from the combine and the stopwatch and the vertical jump for a few minutes to talk ball with us. And I appreciate it. Larry, how are you?
Marty, how big are your hands?
The ring size is 11.
How big are your hands? I mean, I need to know how big your hands are before we go any further.
Really? Ask Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly needs big hands, right?
He likes big paws on his quarterback.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
So, how are you?
Good, good. Enjoying listening to all the baseball dialogue today.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot going on. We're going to try to get Henry Schulman on next to talk with us a little bit about, you know, his view on things. And it's funny, listening to Alex, listening to Andy, everyone has a little different take on what's going on down here. And you're up there. I know you love to hear the, you know, the discussion and everything else. What's your take on the ball club right now and as it's presently constituted and what you hear from down here?
Well, I mean, there's a ton to be excited about. I mean, they've rearmed their rotation. They've got a great young infield. They added a pretty good, you know, pretty solid all-around player in Span at the top of the lineup. And their farm system, I think, is getting ready to spit out some more, you know, decent big league players, you know, in the next 6 months. So I think they're in a good spot. They do have questions, like every team. I mean, I think the ones that come to mind for me are just, you know, can Rigetti straighten out Samardzija, mm-hmm. who may have been tipping his pitches last year, but the numbers were just flat ugly. And Don Cooper is a pretty good pitching coach, so I kind of wonder about what's going on with Samardzija. Obviously, he was great 2 years ago, but last year he wasn't great. So can Rigetti straighten him out? That's a big question for me. And can the Giants' top of the lineup stay healthy? You know, Span, is he going to be ready to roll here in March, or is it going to be April? I mean, Pagan hasn't been healthy. Panic's had that back. They said it was a stress fracture. So, I mean, to me, that's a huge question. And then I don't have a lot of confidence. I don't know about you, Marty. I don't have a lot of confidence that Kane and Peavy are going to give them tons this year. And so, to me, the next question is, you know, which of the young guns is kind of ready to step in for those guys at somewhere along the way? So,
yeah, good questions.
That, I mean, every team's got questions. I think those are the Giants' main ones.
Yeah, good questions. I will tell you this, and again, getting to see these guys live, Pagan looks a lot better. You know, who knows how it's going to turn out. But the lower half, his swings, at least in BP, there's much more power in his swing. As Andy or Alex said, you know, he was one of the worst in baseball in slugging last year. To me, he looks a lot better at the plate. That's for sure. For Span, he missed all of last year, and it may be a little slower for him getting up to game speed. I see that, but it looks like he's healthy and he's ready to play. The Kane issue, I think Kane and Heston will be interchangeable. I see that coming, and I think I don't think the Giants lose a lot by getting Heston in there. And for Peavy, he's going to get hammered down here. We know it. And but he's like a Cueto, you know, the guy just knows how to pitch and he can give you those six innings or 5 2/3 and then get him out of there. And I think that's where he'll be. The rotation will be interesting for me. And you don't know if Kane will be healthy by the end of it, but I'd go with the big three right out of there and then have Kane and Peavy. But I know Bochy doesn't like to do that because Kane and Peavy are bullpen guys. And it'd be interesting to see who gets the third spot for me.
I mean, I think the other thing is, you know, if the Giants have about 20 different young players that are, you know, in the next year are going to break into the big leagues, you would think. And they got a lot of young talent that's especially on the mound. And so I think this is going to be a really interesting month of March watching these Cactus League games because I think you're going to see a lot of the future.
Yeah, I want to see Beedy. And Beedy put on about 25 pounds, and we've got an interview with him. And this guy's ready to play, I want to tell you. Nice guy, but boy, when you watch him, Larry, when you watch him throw and his follow-through, this looks like a major league pitcher. You know, there's nothing that's not confident about him. When he lets go of the ball, he feels that, you know, that pitch is the pitch he wants to make. I like what I see with him. The other one is Blackburn. And Blackburn led the PCL in ERA last year. He's a year older. They like him a lot. He's the first guy I want to see down here to see how how he works against the major league hitters. So I agree with you. When you go through a season and the mosaic, as you like to call it, is put together, it's not just five starters. You know that. It's going to be six or seven along the way. The other thing I'm going to mention to you, and you and I talked about this during the week when we did some of our discussions, this infield defense. Larry, I'm telling you, you know, for fans who are coming down here to watch spring training, come out early. Come out here at 10 o'clock. As soon as the gates open, you should be out here if you can. And watch this infield defense, because you watch Belt, Duffy, Crawford, and Panic. Larry, I'm telling you, it's like, you know, they used to have the Globetrotters. You know, you'd want to watch their warm-up. That's what these guys look like in infield defense. So you can't get the ball through the infield. Is it one of the best defensive infields in Giants history? I'll ask you that.
Well, it's going to have the benefit of being able to grow together. I mean, that's a real advantage. You know, it's funny, Marty, I did an event this week with Will Clark, and I asked him, you know, how would you compare your homegrown Giant infield of, you know, Manwer and Clark, Robbie, Clayton, Matt Williams with today's Giants? And, you know, I mean, obviously that group had a little bit more power on the corners, but I think this group probably has a little bit more, would have an edge as far as contact hitters and making contact and sometimes loud contact and using the whole field against really good pitching. So it's an intriguing group offensively and defensively, really.
Yeah, I asked Sean Dunstan the other day, and, you know, it's a great question down here to ask some of the, you know, the veteran coaches and people who watch baseball. He came up with the Mets. He said, you know something? John Olerud, Edgardo Alfonso, Ray Ordonez, who said was unbelievable, and Robin Ventura. He said that maybe had been the best infield he ever saw. How about that?
So Edgardo Alfonso playing second base was the greatest infield?
He said John Olerud, Alfonso, Ray Ordonez, and Ventura.
Was the highlight reel. Yeah. I mean, Ventura was a very, very good third baseman. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, the Giant infield that had Clark and Williams and Clayton and Robbie Thompson, you know, they had some tremendous range. They had range up the middle. They had strong arm at third base. They had a guy who could really pick it over at first in Clark. Really a heady infield, athletic infield. That was tough to beat. And I would say the best defensive club I've ever seen was that 93 team that had basically that infield and then Willie McGee in right, Darren Lewis in center, and young Barry Bonds in left. Mm. I mean, that was as good as it. That was the best I've ever seen.
Well, then you put Posey behind the plate here and you look up the middle. And these are the kinds of things when you go back and look at World Series champions and teams that won 100 games or in the 90s, they have infields like this. So it's a big selling point for the Giants. It's huge for them. Alex and I touched on Cueto a little bit. Are we undervaluing Cueto for what he could be and what he could mean to this team? If you take away a little bit of what happened in Kansas City, Johnny Cueto could be considered one of the top five pitchers in baseball over the last 4 or 5 years.
Undervaluing? Didn't they give him $130 million?
Yeah, but we don't. His impact.
Where's the undervalue?
Well, as Gary would say, undervaluing the impact he may have on the team.
Well, I think they paid him a ton, but you know this is a guy who I think they're going to slate right behind Bumgarner. He's your number two starter. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's pitched in big games. He elevated in big games. His two starts to finish out October were defining in a lot of ways, and they're probably the primary reasons Evans gave him the money. He really struggled in the second half in Kansas City, but that's the American League. This is the National League, and it's a totally different deal. I think Cueto back in the NL, comfortably slotted behind Bumgarner in a total pitcher's yard with an elite defense, with a Hall of Fame catcher and the best pitching coach in the game, I think he's 18. He's an 18-game winner this year if he stays healthy.
Yeah, it's huge. And I bring it up because down here, you know, he kind of goes about his business. No one really follows him around, doesn't say much. Then all of a sudden you watch him on the mound and you realize every pitch he throws has a purpose. It's just this guy just doesn't just throw a strike. Everything has got something going on with it. And it's going to be interesting to watch him out here, to watch him work. We haven't seen this in a while.
The other thing about him is that, you know, the Giants plan on being in big situations, and this is a guy who doesn't shrink in big situations. and they took note of that, and I think they were correct to do so. You know, some guys like the spotlight and step up and elevate, and other guys don't. And they plan on being in October baseball, and so they needed a guy who's a true, proven October gun.
Yeah.
They paid a boatload. I mean, let's be honest. That $130 million could really look bad. But you know what? They got a proven hired gun. They feel like they're ready to win now. Let's see how it goes.
All right. Larry Kruger with us. Rule changes. A couple have come up this week. Did you take a look at the sliding at the second base rule?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I like the fact that you have to put your body on the ground before the bag. I mean, that should be, if it wasn't spelled out before, it needs to be spelled out. I mean, what happened last year at second base? I mean, it was both the fielder's fault and Utley's fault, but Utley just barreled him. He just barreled him. He went right over the top of the bag. He didn't slide. He didn't slide. Like, at least in the Scudero thing with Holiday, at least Holiday slid and then went over the bag and still hit Scudero. That was dirty, too, by the way, but less dirty than the Utley shot. So they need to do something. I think they need to protect these guys in the middle infield. This isn't football. You know, this is baseball. And to me, I don't want to see guys tear their ACL. Imagine if you're Buster Posey on your team with your second baseman, and some guy takes him out on some ridiculous late slide. I'd like to see these guys protected a little bit more.
Yeah, it's like the play at the plate. If it looks weird, if it's not just going to the bag, if you slide over the bag, it's okay. But you have to sort of kind of look like you're going to stay on the bag. You can't knock the guy into left field and slide through the bag that hard. So I think you're going to look at things that look strange. I think that's the biggest thing that you're going to see, and that's what's going to get called. But we'll see. I'm anxious to see it down here, how they go about it. You got a prediction?
The weirder rule, Marty, I think, is the pitching coach, is the mound visits. I mean, we're talking about guys in their 60s who could be in Oakland and have this prairie to walk across to get to the foul line, and then he's got 30 seconds to get back to the dugout. And what did you see? That to me was the oddball rule that I mean, what if you have an older pitching coach and then all of a sudden now he takes him 20 seconds to get out there? Now he's got, you know, I mean, that's just going to be so bizarre. If they strictly interpret that, Marty, that's going to be junky and weak.
Yeah.
Come on, just picture that. Picture that. Picture Herm Storet in 1978, you know, now sprinting back from the foul line. Oh, no, now it's ball one or whatever the penalty is for not, you know, getting back. I mean, that's junky. That's garbage.
Well, it doesn't pertain to a pitching change. It's only when the coach or someone comes out there. But I guess as soon as you step out of the dugout, it's 30 seconds to get off the mound. So I don't think you have to get back to the dugout. It's just you got to get off the mound within the 30 seconds. But it could take you 20 seconds to get to the mound.
Exactly. I mean, I saw a thing the other day on TV. They timed Bob Melvin on like a fast trot. This is one of the more athletic managers in the big leagues. And it took him like 19 seconds to get from the dugout all the way to the mound. And he was walking at a pretty brisk pace. And he's a young guy. What if you get some, you know, older guy who's got bad knees or something? Now he gets out to the mound, it's ball three by the time he gets back to the dugout.
Okay.
That's junk. I mean, that's not big league baseball. That's carnival stuff, right?
Walt Weiss would be funny the way he tiptoes out to the mound. We watch him do it.
Now, could you imagine firing your pitching coach because he was too slow at the end of the year? Hey, you got rid of him. Why'd you get rid of him? Well, he was one of the slowest guys, and it was costing us every time he went out to talk to a pitcher. I mean,
yeah,
it's so goofy.
We got to get Eddie Montague on to talk about that one. Give me a prediction, spring training. Well, give me something. What would you like to see down here in spring training? Make you feel good about the ball club.
I'd like to see Kazmir, Maeda, Alex Wood, and Brett Anderson all get hurt.
Okay.
For the Dodgers. That's what I'd like to see.
That's positive. That's a positive way to look at it.
I'd like to see those guys who are all, I think, going to get hurt this year. I'd like to see them get hurt early. No, what would I like to see for the Giants? I'd like to see Christian Arroyo continue to do what he did in the fall league, and that's just be a really, really tough out and make the Giants have to make a tough decision at the end of spring because this guy is a big league hitter. And just kind of prove it. I think that he's got the ability, even though I know he's super young and hasn't played at all the levels, and it makes no sense for him to be ready now. But he, he ripped it in the fall league, and the fall league's, you know, basically the next step. And if he, you know, he's supposedly got a great mind for the game. I had a great conversation with Will Clark about him. He loves him, you know. And I kind of think of him, you know, he's kind of like a right-handed Joe Panik. If you watch him, he's got a real flat swing and uses the whole field. And, you know, Joe Panik, when he's healthy, is one of the toughest outs in the National League right now. So,
yeah, you know, before he got hurt.
A real interesting thing to see about Arroyo if he's ready to emerge. And then on the other side, this Corey Seager, let's be honest. I mean, Corey Seager is the best prospect in baseball, and he's the Dodgers are starting their first rookie shortstop since Offerman in 91. This guy's going to hit two in their lineup and may hit 30 bombs and drive in 100 and be terrific. So I'm looking for Arroyo in the Giants camp, and I'm hoping that Seager isn't what I think he could be in L.A.'s camp.
All right, I'm looking for Panik in this camp, and I don't mean Panik, P-A-N-I-C. I'm P-A-N-I-K. This guy was on a pace for 200 hits last year before he got hurt, and he's a key to me because he's a key to the lineup. He probably keeps Duffy in the three spot, and he solidifies the two spot, and then he makes that infield defense. So for me, Joe Panik is the one I want to see him out there, and I want to see him playing like he did last year. That's the one I want to see.
That's a great one, Marty. I mean, this guy really is a terrific young player. I mean, he's not a power hitter, but, man, what a contact hitter. And, you know, if they can get him make sure the back problems are all in the rearview mirror and get him out there, what a player he is. I mean, he can win a batting title. I think he's that level of a hitter. So we'll see.
All right. Hey, great to have you with us. Are you coming down at all?
You know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how the month goes. But I'd like to. I'm jealous. I'll tell you that. I would love to see the Giants get this Rayburn kid, by the way. You know, I mean, when you look at L.A., Marty, with all their lefties in their rotation, this guy hit 325 with a 415 on base against lefties. Get him in camp. I mean, that's the guy you want on your bench or platooning and left with somebody because he rips lefties.
Yeah, he's on their radar, I'll tell you that. It's just a question of, you know, the finances and who else may be interested in a major league contract versus an invite and all that stuff. But believe me, he is on their radar. It's not crazy to think that. That's a good one. All right, hey, take
great
care of yourself.
Man.
And, yeah, call us. And if we can help you on the show with you and Gary, just give me a call.
Sounds good. Have a good month.
All right. That is Sports Larry at Sports Larry KMBR. Larry Krueger. All right, more coming up from Scottsdale.